Matthew chapter 9, beginning in verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. So the Lord Jesus was going from city to city and village to village, and he was doing three things. One, he was teaching. And two, he was preaching. And then three, he was healing. I can manage the first two to some degree. That third one, I have a little bit of problem with, primarily because I'm not God. I do believe that God heals even today. Not in the gift-like sense that it was in the days of the apostles and of our Lord, but I believe we can pray, and I believe God has the power to heal us from whatever He wants to heal us from. And I think James admonishes us actually to pray for those that wish to have it and anoint them with oil and pray over them. When I pastored, I kept a little bottle of oil right here in the pulpit, and there, from time to time we would do that and pray over some of our congregation that was in need. But Jesus went about, and for us right now, the important part is that he was teaching and preaching. I think you can teach without preaching, but I certainly hope we would not preach without teaching. Both should be involved. I think when we want to teach a particular subject, we find that subject, the scripture, we study it, and we make it easy understood to those that are before us. But then I think preaching adds another element. It says, I'm teaching you what you should do, and I'm going to yell at you a while until you do it. Motivation. I want to motivate you to get up and do something with the knowledge that you have. I don't know. I don't know that we've ever in America had a generation of Christians that knew as much about the Bible as this generation does. And I'm not sure that we don't do less with it. We need to take what we have learned and apply it to our lives and go out into the world and actually practice it, actually do it. Giving out gospel tracts, inviting people to church, sharing with others the Word of God, sharing with each other even the Word of God. When we come into the Lord's house, I like sports as good as the next guy. And really for all the wrong reasons. If I told you everything about it, you probably wouldn't even think I'm saved. I love boxing. I don't care who wins. I just want to see somebody get knocked out. If I wanted to watch two guys dance, there's other venues for that. I want to see somebody fight. I love football. Can't hardly wait to see a helmet roll out across the, 5 yards away, for all the wrong reasons. Sports, NASCAR. I don't know who drives those cars. I want to see a wreck. Craziest thing, you can have a fender bender and next thing you know, you're in the emergency room at the hospital. Those guys, the car can flip up into the air, burst into flames, land on the ground, and the guy gets out and walks away as though he doesn't even have a headache from it. Pretty amazing, isn't it? Well, it didn't happen in the end that way for Earnhardt, but for most, that is the way it happens. I love sports. But at the same time, when we come here, there are a lot better things to talk about. We only have such a little bit of time together. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we talked about some experience we had in witnessing this week, or a Bible verse that the Holy Spirit spoke to us about and we want to share it with someone else, or an answer to prayer that God gave us? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we came together and talked about things like that? I think it would be. I think we should. In doing that, what do? We provoke one another to love and good works. Now, I promise you, we know how to provoke one another. But oftentimes it's not to love and good works. But when we share what God is doing in our lives and through our lives, others take courage from that as well and say, hey, if He can, I certainly can. And it encourages others to go and serve the Lord. I want you to note in verse 36, it says, He saw the multitudes. He saw the multitudes of unsaved people we see every day. Multitudes of backslidden church members we see every day. Multitudes of them. But do we take note? You remember, I think it's Mark chapter 8, the Lord touched the eyes of a blind man, and He asked him, He said, how do you see? And he blinks a few times and looks around and says to the Lord, I see men as trees walking. And Jesus touched him again, and He said, how about now? Oh, He said, I see all men clearly now. I think we need another touch. So many of us are like a steel ball rolling through a pinball machine, and we're just bouncing off of whatever we touch. And we go by people day in and day out who are in need of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we just totally ignore them. We're so busy. We're in such a hurry. If you get out on the highways today, as we do, my, you have people just, I mean, changing lanes and speeding and in a hurry to get somewhere. And I've often thought, I'd love to be able to follow them to see what that important thing is that they're willing to kill people over. But in life, daily in general, we are just so stressed out and so busy. Can't stop long enough to look around us and see that these are real human beings that we're living amongst every day of our lives. But when He saw the multitudes, secondly, when He saw the multitudes, verse 36, He was moved with compassion. And there was a good reason. He said, because they fainted. And they fainted because they had been scattered, or they are dispersed. And they were scattered and dispersed because they had no shepherd. They had no direction. They had no guidance. Think about this. In this world that you're living in, one of the best known advisors is Oprah. And then this group of ladies on The View. I want to say, who in the world cares what they think about anything? But while we look at our Bibles and we come to church and listen to the pastor and the Sunday school teachers and find direction from those that are shepherding our lives, most of the world does not have that. They're getting their direction from what they hear on the news. And in case you haven't discovered it, they lie to us. You say, I know, I tell you, those left-wingers. No, those right-wingers too lie to us. Do you know why they're in business? To make money. You can't pay people multi-million dollar contracts just because you're trying to get the news to somebody. The old days of old Walter Cronkite, which most of you have no idea who he was, those days have long since been gone. But when you consider that millions and millions of people right here in America, that's where they get their advice, that's where they get their news. No wonder they are fainting and scattered and have no shepherd, have no direction in life. This is direction. This will tell you when to turn left, when to turn right. It'll even tell you when to be still. Go forward. For us, this is where we find our marching instructions and our directions in this life. So they were scattered and they fainted and were scattered and had no shepherd. Compassion does make a difference. People know if we care. The Lord saw 5,000 people following Him, and He had compassion on them. And so He asked the fellows, how much food do we have? Well, they didn't have much, a few loaves and fishes. He said, have them sit down, and we'll feed them. Well, you know, feed them. This is going to be gone just the first few people, and then there's going to be a riot trying to get the food away from them. And so the Lord prayed over it, and perhaps He gave Peter a piece of bread, and He said, you take this piece of bread and this little piece of fish, and you go over here and feed these 500. Well, you know, Peter thought, I'll be right back in just a second because I'll be out of food. And he breaks the piece of bread off and gives it to the first one, and lo and behold, his bread is as big as it was when he started out. And when they finished up, what was it, 12 basketfuls that they had left over. He did it again with the 4,000 because he saw the people that had been traveling with him, going with him. He was teaching them all day long, and they wanted to send them away, and he said no. He had compassion on them, and he fed them. And then you find individual after individual of through the New Testament where the Lord Jesus had compassion on them. Remember the little lady, she came to him because her daughter was undoubtedly demon-possessed, and she couldn't get any help for her daughter, and so she came to appeal to the Lord, but He ignored her. And it got so bad, finally the disciples said, why don't you just bluntly tell her to go away? But He didn't. And because she was so persistent, He had mercy on her, and her daughter was healed from her demon possession. Over and over and over again, all through the New Testament, He did things like that. Now, I know we can't satisfy every ill and meet every need that there is in the world, but there's some of them we could meet. There are some things that we could do. Ever go into the station and fill your tank up? And, of course, Brinks was following you and to provide the money. It wasn't safe to carry that much. But you maybe you're filling your car up and you see an elderly person pull in, or maybe a lady with a car full of children, and it's obvious that they're not wealthy. Ever thought about just going over, sliding your credit card, and buying them a tank of gas? Ever thought about looking around a restaurant and see someone that perhaps needs a little encouragement and say to the waitress, I will take care of their check? No, oftentimes we don't because we see men as trees walking. Stop long enough to see people. So He saw the multitudes. He was moved with compassion. But actually, this is what I came to tell you tonight. He said to His disciples, the harvest is plenteous. Laborers are few. That should be no secret to us. Isn't it good to know you're going to heaven? then most of the world does not have it good. Even in places where the name of Christ has been mentioned, oftentimes it's so distorted by religion that no one could find heaven trying to go that route. The impact of Catholicism around the world. I don't think there's any way possible that someone could be saved by Catholic doctrine. All independent Baptist preachers used to believe that. But we just don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I don't want to intentionally hurt someone's feelings, but I will. I would rather a fellow on his way to hell have his feelings hurt to make him think than to coddle him all the way to hell, making him think he has the right answer. Multitudes don't have the right answer. So the Lord Jesus says the harvest is plenteous. And as I've mentioned before, right here in America, the harvest is plenteous. But you go to other parts of the world, Pakistan, for instance, and there are so few laborers to reach so many people. Myanmar, though Judson had a great impact in that country, still today, multitudes of souls who not only are not saved, but don't even know how to be saved. And even the structure of the church that Judson started is so far gone now that it couldn't bring anybody to Christ. Now, there are people that have been saved because of his ministry that have others, like Timothy Main. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Small number, great work. So, he said, well, Brother Whetstone, because of that, you think every one of us ought to surrender and go to the mission field. No, I think every one of us ought to pray, therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. That's what I think we ought to do. Now, if I ask you tonight to commit to go to the mission field, I don't know, might be one or two here that would, but most are not. But that's not what I'm asking us to do tonight. I'm asking us to covenant together that we will remember to pray that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers into his harvest. Now, you might pick out a particular part of the world that you have a real burden for and pray that God would send people to that particular place. Or you might just pray for the world in general. Or you might pray for America. God, give us men to keep our churches open and thriving and moving forward. But we should pray, therefore, the Lord of the harvest. Isn't this interesting? That it is the Lord who is saying, ask the Lord to send forth laborers. It isn't the disciples. It's the Lord Himself saying, I want you to pray to me that I will touch the hearts of men and women and send them out for a great harvest in this world of souls. Can we agree that that would be a good thing for all of us to do? What if, now, Sunday night, you'll get the commitment card and you'll put a number on it, no name, just a number. It's a commitment between you and the Lord. You're only sharing it with the pastor so he'll know how to plan for this coming year. But why couldn't we do the same thing with this one thing? That I will covenant together with our membership in the Lord, that daily I will pray that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers into his harvest. Will you do that? it must undoubtedly be important because the Lord asked for it. Now, there are some things I might ask you to do. I won't enumerate any of them, but could be some things that I would ask you to do that you might or you might not. But if the Lord is going to ask us to do it, don't you think we should? I think so. And so that's all I have tonight is, will you commit, and you don't have to tell me, in your own heart, will you commit that I will daily pray that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers into His harvest? I believe with all of my heart, if that moment of surrender comes, He will touch our hearts to do it. I believe He will. But will we? Think about it. Think about it, folks. You heard from Brother Asher tonight. It doesn't really cost us anything to serve the Lord. We can come to church and have services, and we could even be baptized publicly, and it wouldn't bother anybody. But I'm going to guess, now I hadn't talked to Brother Asher about it, but I'm going to guess that in Pakistan, baptism is important. In most countries that are closed to the gospel or hate the gospel, you can make a profession of faith and get by okay. But when you make a public declaration of your faith in Christ, that's an altogether different story. And you could die for that. I mean, die for that. We, on the other hand, have been so blessed. And I'm not wishing we were like them. I'm wishing they were like us and had the freedom that we have to share the gospel of Christ. But we can at least do this, can't we? We can pray that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers into His harvest. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your willingness to challenge us. And I pray that every one of us in this room would commit to You that daily we would pray that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers into the harvest. As we do that, Lord, may we also be willing to search our own hearts and know without question that should You want us, we are available. And for all that You do, I'll thank You in Christ's name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand quietly and reverently to your feet, please? As the pianist plays for us a hymn of invitation, there's an altar available if you'd like to come and pray. If there's a need in your heart tonight, surrender perhaps, commitment perhaps, but will you, as the pianist plays right now, say in your own heart, Lord, I commit myself to pray that You, the Lord of the harvest, will send forth laborers into the harvest. John 15 makes it clear that if we ask anything in His name, He will do it. And that is because we are abiding in Him and in His Word. His will then becomes ours. And we're not asking for foolish things. We're asking for things that God would ask if He were here.